Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power!
Bring the funk, Q. Big half of the house, I'm saying for 9 pounds. Yeah, get down. Talk about it, huh? Check this out, original. Keep it going and you don't stop. Love the way we do the hip-hop. Oh, yeah. Like this. Check it. Hey, yo, rock you. I got you. True that. Now who that? Where Q at?
Right here.
I knew that.
Good afternoon, Phoenix. What up? Hey, gang. My name is Mac Newton, and welcome to the Power Hour. We do this thing every Thursday at 5 o'clock from our place in the middle of downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Today is a little overcast out, but the weather is in the upper 70s. I hope it's the same wherever you are. Wow, is it great to be alive today. We've got a big surprise for you guys. We got a blast from the past coming back. In addition to Eric on the other side of the glass, you've got my main man, Zach Geis, coming back. What's up, Zach? Good to have you, man.
Back in action. Good to be here, man.
Oh, the return of the Mac.
The return of the gangster.
That's exactly right. Well, I tell you what, gang, we got Zach coming back. We hate to say we're losing Eric, but hey, all good things come to an end because Eric has got an even better gig than I can do to keep him in the house. We're going to miss you, brother, but glad to see you on the other side of the glass today. Hey, gang, we got a great show on tap for you guys. Absolutely a great show, and we're starting it out that way. If you didn't guess by now, by listening to the kind of funky side of Q, I'm talking about Quincy Jones, the man. Heavy D and the boys were helping it out. With little Brandy bringing him on, too. And for those of you who are not familiar with Q, and if you're not, I'm not even sure why I'm talking to you, but you should know that he has done it all. I mean, I'm talking about arranging for Lionel Hampton, Count Basie, and the man, Frank Sinatra, Dinah Washington, Sarah Vaughan, Dizzy Gillespie, Peggy Lee. What else can I say for you? Do I also say Michael Jackson? We're talking about, what was it, the album that sent everybody over the edge. What was that one there, Eric?
Thriller.
That was the Thriller. Yeah. I think they're going to make that into a Broadway play now or something like that.
One of the greatest albums of all time.
Of all time. Some people say the greatest. Well, of course, you know that Q, the man, produced that album. I mean, he has pretty much done it all. I mean, born Quincy Delight Jones Jr. With a name like that, you got to be called Q. I'm not sure I'd have the nerve to name my son Delight, because you got to be bad when you grow up with a name like Delight. Hey, Delight, what's up? Oh, my gosh. You know, I tell you, I think that Quincy Jones, one of my earliest experiences with Quincy live was seeing a show he did in Chicago. I was 16 years old. It was called The Queen and Quincy, Dinah Washington and Quincy Jones. And they tore it up at this old Chicago theater. I mean, just tore it up. Well, we're going to give you a chance to hear some cuts taken from the CD Q's Juke Joint. And this was this is going back now into about 1997, 1998. We'll give you some more exactness on that later on. But welcome to the show, gang. More of that coming on to you. Let's take that down. This I kind of like this because he does a lot of jazzy hip hop. It's kind of dedicated to some of the jazz that was done in some of the juke joints that originated in the South. In fact, are still I'll just skip that word. Though they're all over the southern part of the United States. I can say that word, but not on Thursday afternoon. Okay, it is now exactly 5 minutes past the hour, wherever you may be. What was the temperature out there today, Eric? You know, it was out there. It's a nice day, though.
Yeah,
you know?
A little warmer than it has been.
I mean, it's a beautiful day. We got some clouds out there. Not completely cloudy, but not like it is in Chicago, where it's, I mean, cloudy all the way through. You know,
Your atomic clock there is reading 84 degrees, Mac.
84 degrees. I love that. And it is the atomic clock, too. Thanks, Zach. Zach's on top of it. You guys are going to grow to love Zach. The weather in the southern and northern eastern part of the United States on the other side of this, what do they call it? That jet stream that comes. Zach used to do the weather. What do they call that thing that comes down through?
The Gulf Stream.
The jet stream that comes down on the northern side of it. It's cold, and on the southern side of it, where it meets, it gets absolutely frigid. Well, it's frigid.
Dallas. That's where my family is. They have crazy weather.
So. Oh, I tell you, it is something. It was like 2 below in Chicago this morning with a wind chill of 11 below, 12 below zero wind in Buffalo with a wind chill of like 18, 19 below. That's outrageous. I can't even imagine it. That sound you hear is people landing at Sky Harbor right now. We got a great show on tap for you guys today, but first we're going to do, as we always do, our shout-outs. Always got to give our shout-outs to Ray out there in SoCal and Mark here in Phoenix, Mark and Kim. Thanks for you guys being heavy-duty listeners, and thanks for communicating with the Mac Daddy. I'm glad you like the show. Nick and the boys up in Denver, we will be up there next month. Time is flying, the 13th and 14th of March. We will be in Denver for 3 seminars that are already set, and he tells me that they're going to be sold out. Bev and Peter out there in Phoenix, still listening in. Dottie, where you at? And, of course, the fabulous Natasha, who gave up her chair today for you, Zach. You know, how special can you be if the fabulous Natasha has given up her chair to get you back in the fold. So we have got a good show on tap. We're going to pick up where we left off last week on the 15 steps from moving from the old you to the new you. It was kind of weird. I called Zach on the phone, and first words out of his mouth was, "Boy, it's weird that you would call me," because you said, what'd you tell me, what, Zach, you said?
Well, you gave me the path to power probably like, I don't know, maybe even over a year ago, but just for whatever reason, I hadn't gotten into it until just about recently. So I'm on the chapter 15, Loving the World.
And I call him on the phone.
There's on my nightstand, and then there's my phone ringing. It's like, you know, law of attraction or something.
The law of attraction is exactly right. And two things coming back in touch with one another. That's fabulous. Okay, we're going to start off with step number 11. Pick back up with that. And you know that we got started last week talking with the Dirty Dozen. Reviewing that, steps 1 through 12, and we're going to finish up with the 10 steps to permanent change. Whew. Well, if that's not enough, I don't know. If that doesn't get you wired up, I don't know exactly what to say to you. What we're talking about, Zach, moving from the old you to the new you. Everyone has characteristics about themselves that they would like to see change. One of the things that I always had trouble with in my young adult years, around your age, was anger. I had a problem with it. And it came from two sources. Well, it came from, how I was born, being abandoned when I was very, very young. In fact, as I was born by my dad. And then, of course, I had a lot of anger from, growing up in foster homes and not having a normal home, so to speak. So I had this anger built in, and the best way for me to take it out on it, was to, whenever things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, then I would just get angry. I'd just get mad. I'd just get into a fight, and it was affecting me and everyone around me. So obviously, I wanted to get rid of that. I wanted to be more patient, especially if I was going to teach Taekwondo to kids. You can't teach Taekwondo to kids without patience. Kids are exasperating, even at their best. And so, you want those things represented parts of the old Mac. The new Mac didn't get angry. The new Mac was able to think things through before reacting. The new Mac was able to not use anger as a way of dealing with things I didn't like. The new Mac was the one who was able to sit down and listen to someone else's point of view rather than just assuming that I was right. So we've all got an old part of us and a new part of us that we would want to be. That's what we've been talking about from the last 3 weeks. Now we're on step number 11. Step number 11 on moving from the old you to new you is entitled Get Uncomfortable. Not only do you want to move from the old you to the new you, Zach, we want to move fast. We want to move quickly. We want to move. I don't want to spend the next 20 years trying to get my act together. My life will be over. I want to get it together now. I want to get it under control right now. I want to move from the old me to the new me now. I don't want to be working on it. When someone says they're working on it, what they're telling me is they're insincere and they're procrastinating on the process. They're not serious about getting it done. I'm working on it. It's nothing but a way of undermining your own success. You don't work on it, you just do it. We want to move quickly. We need to use quantum physics. We want to make a quantum leap. And when you're thinking about moving from the old you to the new you quickly, that whole science is going to jerk you out of your comfort zone. Now, let me see if I can explain to you what a comfort zone is. Zach, have you ever heard of the word inertia?
Indeed.
Yes, most people have heard of the word. Basically, it's a force. It acts with gravity. It allows, like if I take a pendulum and I release it at one end of the spectrum and it swings down past the center and up to the other side. What that force that allows it to keep swinging is inertia. But the inertia, as it continues to swing, will generate less and less power until the pendulum will finally end up pointing toward the bottom. Inertia always works on you to leave you at the bottom. In other words, that's where your comfort zone is. So when someone is talking about a comfort zone, they're always talking about an area that you are not moving ahead. You are at the bottom. Inertia is going to be one of the greatest obstacles to success anyone will ever have to face. And that's exactly what quantum leaps do. It jerks you out of the comfort zone. It jerks you out of the pull of inertia. You're going to have to cover some pretty unfamiliar territory, and you're going to encounter obstacles that you've never faced before. It can feel like the safety chain that's been linking you, you know, with your tried and true behaviors of the past, your comfort zone that have worked so well for you. It's being stretched to the limits. At times, you may wonder if the situation is out of control. It's very uncomfortable. That's why this segment is called Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable. The normal reaction when you're in the midst of a quantum leap, when you're in the midst of change from the old you to the new you, is that you want to hold on very, very tight. You want to just grab home and not let go. But you've got to learn how to let go. Only quantum leaps are only achieved through release. I'm going to give you an example. When I had my open heart surgery to fix my heart defect, I have a video that shows that the entire surgery. Now, in the midst of that surgery, it actually looked like the person who was being operated on was dead. I'm not kidding. It looked like that person was dead. However, I'm looking at a video of myself. I'm looking at a video of my own surgery. They started the surgery with a circular saw, taking it right down the center of my chest. A circular saw with blood and pieces of bone flying everywhere. And then they take these thing called retractors and they open your chest up. It's like just breaking the claws off when you're having lobster for dinner with the same kind of sounds, just ripping your chest open. And you're looking at this. Wow. Well, in the midst of that, you might think, that person's dead. There's no future there. So in the midst of a quantum leap, in the midst of making the change from the old you to the new you, things look pretty out of control. You can't go back to the safety of your old status quo at this point. You got to just turn loose if you want to make the jump. Don't be surprised if you're uneasy. It's predictable. When you take a quantum leap, you like ride the wave. You ride the wave of the situation. You don't really control it all that much. You ride it. In fact, if you do control it, the only way you can is by knowing where you're going is having an aiming point, taking action, and continuing the pursuit. Learning from your mistakes all the while. That's the only way you sort of control it. In other words, you are riding the wave of this quantum leap. It is an act of faith. Completely an act of faith. It's very exhilarating and possibly scary at the same time. It's like someone taking a bungee jump. I'm sure that's exactly what they experience. It's got this exhilaration of putting your life on the line, but it doesn't really kill you. You know, it's exhilarating. And scary all at the same time. Because there's a chance, there's a possibility you may not survive it. And that's what a quantum leap is like. It's an act of faith. You have to give up a large degree of your security and your safety. You got to get out from behind the cover, so to speak. You've got to come out and reveal yourself. You can't play it safe moving from the old you to the new you. Otherwise, you will stay mired in the old you forever. And before you know it, Zach, and here's the thing that's shocking to a lot of young people your age. It's like their future shows up before they're ready. All of a sudden, you go from 25 to 40 like that. Just like that. You go from 25 to 40 just like it's in an instant. And you wonder, they wonder, where did it go to? Because I've been getting ready. I've been getting ready. What happened? Wow. In order to make this leap, you're going to have to sort of plow through great amounts of ambiguity, confusion, uncertainty. You're going to learn to wrestle with a totally new set of problems. You're going to have to invite failure, not just tolerate failure. You got to invite it in. It's part of the process. And you're going to have to possibly contend with criticism from others who have been part of your support system in the past. Those are just the facts. When you are making a major change in your life, I remember when I decided I wanted to give up my job working for Baxter Travenol, having the security of a regular paycheck and a large one at that, and my own company car, an expense account, to go into business for myself teaching Taekwondo. My father actually called me a fool. He says, "You're a fool." Now, if my father was someone who's support I needed in order to make that change happen, which has allowed me, by the way, to live a life that I couldn't even imagine, a life that I would have not been living had I chose to stay in the security of that job. But if I had needed his support, I wouldn't have had it. See, sometimes when you're making this quantum leap, you're sometimes going to lose the support of people who've supported you in the past. You're going to lose the support of people who have been there for you. And that's pretty scary stuff. So you got to wrestle with uncertainty, invite problems, failure, and contend with criticism from other people who have been part of your support system. Make you feel uncomfortable? If it does, that's a good sign. If you're experiencing no anxiety, if you're experiencing no discomfort, the risk you're taking probably isn't worthy of you. It's probably not a real quantum leap. It may be a step forward, but not a very large one. The only risks that aren't a little scary, in my opinion, are the risks that you've already outgrown. I'm serious. You've already outgrown it. A high comfort level provides solid evidence to me that you're playing it safe. You're not growing. You're not testing your limits at all. And a lot of people, don't get me wrong, a lot of people just aren't interested in testing their limits. Some people are interested in security and the comfort zone. But let me explain something to you, gang, right now. Let me explain this to you. There is no security. It is an illusion. There is only opportunity. And the more you invest yourself in security, the more you prevent opportunities from showing up. People who run the world are people who understand the power of opportunities and know how to recognize them and seize upon them. A lot of people say, "I just need a break. I just need a break." You got a break. You just didn't recognize it when you showed up. You got a break. You got to recognize it when it shows up. And you got to have the courage to step out of your safety zone and seize upon that moment. Moving from the old you to the new you carries you far beyond the commonplace, the everyday habits, and calls for a little more nerve. So just go into this thing expecting a little touch of anxiety, all right? Don't let it scare you. Uneasiness is a predictable psychological factor when a quantum leap is underway. It has been said that if you will do the thing that you fear, death of fear is an absolute certainty. Courage is not the absence of fear, not at all. It's proceeding in spite of the fear that makes a person appear fearless. So you got to press on. Press on. You know, there are only two basic emotions for all of humankind, fight or flight. You know, fear or desire. They're the same thing. Fear or flight. Desire or fight. Those are the two. The dominant emotion is always will. The stronger emotion. Whichever emotion you've got more emotion invested in will always overpower the weaker one. So if you have more emotion in your fear, if there are more things you're afraid of, you will never ever go after your desire. So your desire has to be stronger than what you fear. There will be fear, but your desire will overcome it if you keep building upon it. All right, finally, we're going to do one more today. It's 22 minutes past the hour today, gang. My name is Mac Newton. If you've just tuned in, we do this show every Thursday here on the Power Hour. www.macnewton.com on your radio dial. And it's 22 minutes past the hour, and it's a nice 78 degree day out, I would say, here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, making you feel bad. You know, we got listeners, and now I'm sure my listeners in the southern half of the globe, down in Ecuador or in South America. We got listeners in Argentina. You know, in fact, it's summertime in Argentina. Down in Australia, it's over 100 degrees. It's summertime down there. We're not talking to them. We want to pick on the ones that are in the northern hemisphere. We want to pick on the ones that are freezing. We want to pick on the ones over in Ireland. Our listeners over in Ireland. How cold is it over there, gang? Is it raining today? You betcha. How about over in Minnesota? Is it cold up there? Yeah, you betcha. It's cold and it's freezing up there. Come on down here and join the Mac Daddy in the Valley. There's plenty of room for you guys down here. We're going to do one more here on the Power Hour, gang. As we get to the 15 steps of the old you to the new you. And if you're just tuning in, all you have to do is go to MacNewton.com and go to the icon. It says Power Hour. Log on and check back into our shows that are archived and catch right up to where we are today. It couldn't be simpler than that. Just go to MacNewton.com, click on the Power Hour icon. It'll show you step by step how to get to all the archived shows and catch yourself up. Talk to your friend about them. Do me a favor. Tell your best friend about it and make them a listener. The more people that listen to the Power Hour, the more people that are able to achieve their dreams, the happier I'm going to be, because I want to listen to your music. That's a fact. I want to read your books. I want to read your book. I want to listen to your music. I want to listen to your movies. I've got a young lady right in here who works for a local TV station, and her dream is to be a screenwriter, and she shared a little bit with me of a screenplay that she's writing. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. The only thing that's keeping her back is fear. I mean, I've seen some really lousy movies, and this what she showed me. I mean, if it's only half of what she showed me, it'll be a great movie that's well worth seeing. But people think, well, why would anyone buy my movie? Why would anyone buy my book? Why would anyone listen to my music? Well, they won't if you go at it with that attitude. They won't, because you got to believe in yourself first. And that's what these 15 steps are about, moving from the old you to the new you. I mean, what the heck? I'm thrilled that, you know, I've lost a lot of students and a lot of employees that way, who have come to work for me and have learned through listening to stuff and have moved on to bigger and greater things. And I'm always glad to see it happen. And who knows, Zach, if that happens, I'll be sad to lose you, but happy to see you go in that regard. And we'll get, huh?
Be the second time.
That's exactly right. And so that does happen, and I'm always thrilled. So let's keep going on. Let's do one more. Number 12. And this is one that pertains to a lot of people who see themselves sometimes negatively. They can't imagine themselves having more than one skill. Most people their abilities revolve around the average. In other words, we're average. We can sew average. We can we have average handwriting. We are average at all the things that we do for the most part. However, there's always one area of excellence, one thing that every person can do. So the title of step number 12, this segment is Open Your Gifts. Open your gifts. You've got many gifts you've never opened. They may be gifts of talent, ability, and something I like to call reach, that are yours for the taking. The people that we call gifted are people who are different from the crowd in one very special way. They have the courage to accept and open their gifts. I never knew I had the ability to write books. I never knew I had the ability to write essays. I never knew I had the ability to host a radio show. I never knew I had the ability to do that. I never knew I had the ability to just let it happen. The high achievers, the people we admire, are those people who've opened their gifts. They're winners. And they have more gifts because they've claimed them. They just took them out of the wrapping and they used them. And you may have some too. And now it's time for you to do something with yours. It'll make the world a better place. Claim them and you create them. Reach for them and they materialize. Use them and they grow. If you look at the things that you're good at today, I mean that you've developed over the years, the talents that you've shown, you'll find that those are the gifts that you've opened. Those are the ones you've enjoyed. But how many others may be within your reach? For every gift you've opened over the years, there are hundreds that you've never unwrapped and taken out of the package. This is like unused potential, and it's like hiding there, just waiting to play a role in your quantum leap. When you make a quantum leap, when you go from the old you to the new you, it helps you find out many new things about yourself. It's a journey into self-discovery. It's like a transformation appears to you. You know, it's like a caterpillar that becomes a monarch butterfly, you know, to free itself from those, from just crawling along the earth, along the branch of a tree, and then releasing those auburn wings and flying high and free. The creature first has to break out of the cocoon of safety. They've got to be able to expose themselves. So open more of your gifts, you'll find your wings, and you will be surprised that you're able to do more things faster than ever before. Usually, there are two reasons why people don't. They may write the book, but they'll never attempt to sell it. Or they may give up after a few rejections. Or they don't think anyone will listen to their music. You know why? They don't feel deserving. You have to feel that you have what it takes to make this goal happen. And you must feel beyond a shadow of a doubt you deserve having this goal appear in your world. That's absolutely certain. We're going to talk more about that when we get to goal setting in coming weeks. But right now, we're going to take a break here in just a little bit. What we got, about 29 minutes past the hour there, Eric? He's nodding yes behind the glass. And by the way, my name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour, and we do this every single Thursday at 5 o'clock here, macnewton.com. Zach Geis is also behind the glass, just watching Eric work his magic so he can step right in seamlessly, make it work for us next week. And you guys stay exactly where you are. We got a little bit, oh, what's that? I kind of like that. I like that now. Ooh, yes. Oh, that's, Eric. Eric, oh, no. Oh, you got a little head bob going over there. Oh, I like that. Uh-huh. Yes. You didn't know you had that kind of funky side, did you, gang? That would be Quincy Jones. Yes. Oh, by the way, did you know he's the godfather of Nicole Richie? I don't know where that came from. I just remembered that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. You guys stay right where you are on Mac Newton. The Power Hour is the show you're listening to. We will be right back right after these words.
Mac Newton Power Hour is brought to you by Quail Plumbing, a full-service plumbing contractor serving the Valley for over 18 years.
Hey, gang. This is Mac Newton. You know, nothing is important as a good plumber when you need one really, really bad. I'm talking about when you walk into your house one night after a long day's work and you smell something funny and you find out that your shower is backing up, the main drain is broken, you need someone you can count on right now. Or something breaks under the sink and you've got water squirting in every direction. You want someone you can trust. You want someone that you know is not going to try and take advantage of the situation and make their weekly quota in one sales call. You need a trustworthy person. That would be the people at Quail Plumbing. I've known them for years personally. They did all of the work on my house when I was building it and when I was building Mac Daddy's. You can take it from the Mac Daddy that if you want to get quality work done and you want it done on time and you want it done at a fair price, you want to call the people at Quail Plumbing in Phoenix, Arizona. All you have to do is look up quailplumbing.com. You go to www.quailplumbing.com. Tell them you heard about it right here on the Power Hour that the Mac Daddy sent you. As usual, gang, I want to remind you to tell your friends to join the success train. Jump on board. Go to MacNewton.com. All the successful people do. They want to find a way to make the best out of themselves. They want to find the courage to take a chance. Open that business. Now is the perfect time. The deals that are available, the opportunities are too numerous to mention. But why are people not doing it? Because they're afraid. Pick your head up, shine your shoes, man. Come on, let the world know you're healthy. This is the time to get out there. The opportunities are there. Tune in to MacNewton.com. Listen to the Power Hour. Download something that you can listen to as you're on your way to work so you too can be part of the success train. It starts right here at the Power Hour.
Mac Newton Power Hour is brought to you by Widmer Chiropractic, a fixture on Camelback Road for over 15 years.
Hi, gang, it's Mac Newton. When I do Taekwondo, and I still do it, people are come surprised about that. They think, oh, your Taekwondo days are behind you. No, they're not. And when I do Taekwondo, I do it full power. I put everything I have into every kick and every punch, every pattern, every movement, because I want my students to be better than I am. But in doing that, after some 45, 50 years of kicking and punching and jumping and spinning, boy, at the end of the day, sometimes I need a really good adjustment. And you can't get better work than you can at Randall Whitmire's Chiropractic on Camelback Road in 44th Street. Again, I don't recommend things. I don't recommend people. I don't recommend services that I don't know personally and I don't use. That is a rule here of the Power Hour. You call Whitmire Chiropractic, 602-954-6200 at 44th and Camelback on the east side of Phoenix, Arizona. You will not be disappointed. Tell them the Mac Daddy sent you. Tell them you heard about it on the Power Hour. I don't care if you have an injury that you suffered on the job. I don't care if you hurt yourself slipping on the stairs. I don't care if, like me, you're doing Taekwondo when you're over 40. It doesn't matter. Randall uses that very gentle technique called the activator method. He doesn't grab you and yank you around causing more problems. Oh, no, not at all. This is a technique that's scientific and gentle to the body and everyone will benefit from. But remember, tell them you heard about it on the Power Hour.
My sound is gonna hit you like a drum drop.
Gang, gang, welcome back.
Like one to the two, went straight to the ten. Turn up the sounds, cause the cue's back again with a whole new set. Here to make you sweat, put on your stomping boots to fuel up the jets.
Yeah, I haven't heard this CD in a while, you know? Got my head bobbing over here. People hear Quincy Jones and they think, oh no, they think about Frank Sinatra, Jack Nicholson, and, you know, all of these guys, you know, Rack Pack. All, they don't think about Michael Jackson, funk, Funkadelic and all that kind of stuff. Quincy's into that. Big band, jazz, you name it. Oh, yes. Godfather of a singer, Patty Austin. Where'd that come from? But he is. That's what it is. 26 Grammys. What does that tell you? Okay. 26 Grammy Awards. One of the things I do remember is I think it was 1976 or something. He suffered a brain aneurysm, so he doesn't play trumpet anymore. But he arranges music and plays a mean piano. So we'll listen to the music today of Quincy Jones, our musical guest host. A little bit more of that coming down. This is from Q's Jew Joint. I don't know if you can still pick it up, but go somewhere and tell them you heard it on the Power Hour. The Mac Daddy sent you, and they'll find it for you. They'll know who I am. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, gang. Welcome back for the second half. It is now 37 minutes past the hour. You know, one of the things, Zach, I've never quite gotten about the Power Hour, the time flies so fast. You know, I mean, it just zoom. It's gone.
You know? A lot of information to get in. You know,
exactly.
It's, 1 hour.
It's like it's at the end of every show, I'm running out here like the building's on fire. Okay, we got to go now. Got to go. Zoom in out the door. It all comes down trying to do 10 things in the last 10 seconds. That's the way it goes. Well, as I said, we had a great show for you today, and I wasn't kidding you. Now you know I was right on the money. We'll pick up right here, right where we left off today, point 13. I'm going to pick up right there next Thursday. But as I promised you at the top of the show, we're going to review the Dirty Dozen, those character traits that we're not proud of, the things that make up the old you. But I'm going to tell you what to do to become the new you. Basically, these character traits I'm going to sort of break down to you, and they've all come from my personality. This is not stuff I've read about in a book. This is just stuff that, unfortunately, I've had to live with. And when I've had to live with it, everyone who comes in contact with me has to live with it. So when you change yourself, you're improving the life of everyone who touches you. You're just making the world a better place. Bottom line, all these things says we don't like ourselves enough. All 12 of them. Number one, jealousy. Number two, negative talk, especially to ourselves. All that it's saying is you don't like yourself very much. You have a negative self-image. Number three, the inability to give compliments. What does that tell you? Number four, an inability to accept compliments. Well, that would stand to reason. Number five, not taking your own needs into account. Number six, not asking for what we want. These are things that say, you know what? I'm not really that valuable. I don't deserve good things to happen to me. And if good things do happen, sometimes it makes you nervous. Some good things start happening. You start wondering, well, gee whiz, when is something bad going to happen to balance it out? They say, well, good things happen in threes. Well, they do. It can happen in threes, sixes, nines, twelves, fifteens, any number you want. But too often we're too mired or hung up in our own deep-rooted feelings of inadequacy, our deep-rooted feelings of undeservingness, especially of good things. And as a result, these are our behavioral characteristics. These are the things that are saying out loud, uncut, you don't like yourself very much. Number seven, an unwillingness to give affection. Number eight, an inability to receive affection. Now remember, that was one key word different than those last two. Number seven was an unwillingness to give affection. You have the ability to, you're just not willing to. Number eight is an inability to receive affection. That means you may be willing to receive it, you're just not able to. Wow. Okay, we'll talk about that. Number nine, criticism of others, and as a result, a criticism of ourselves. Number 10, always comparing ourselves to other people. You, one of two things is going to happen there, gang. You're either going to be jaded, okay? You're going to feel, boy, you know, I've got it all going on. or you're going to feel inadequate. Number 11, I'm sorry, number 12, number 11, I was right. You express the characteristics of a guilty personality. You're experiencing guilt. And number 12, constant poor health. Constantly in poor health. Now, if you've got three of these, just three, if you found three of those things pertain to you, then you need to start working on how much you like yourself by simply saying those words. I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. Over and over and over, and visualizing yourself as a positive, worthwhile person. If you've got between four and eight of these things, it has to be given a high priority in your goal setting to develop a better self-image. If you've got 9 to 12, then it has to become your overarching goal. Your major definite purpose in life is to like yourself more. Because if you felt between 8 and 12 of these, I want to tell you right now, you are performing at a level far, far below your possibilities. I don't care what you're doing, you could be doing a lot better. Let's talk about the 10 steps to permanent change. You know, there are a lot of people can tell you what's wrong with stuff in the world. Can they tell you what to do about it, how to get better? You know, a lot of people are always telling you, well, that's wrong and this could be better. Okay, what should we do about it? This is what we should do about it. We need to change, and this is the way we can change. 10 steps to permanent change. But before I start that, I want to remind you that change is naturally hard. Don't go into this expecting it to be easy, because it's not. The feeling of the average adult is that they want to stay the same, but somehow get better. That doesn't even make any sense when I say it here on a radio show. But that's exactly what people want to do. They want to stay the same, but get better at the same time. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I put these in a particular order, especially the first two. If you want to get better, if you want to heal, if you want to improve your self-esteem, if you want to learn to like yourself better, the first thing that you can do, and this helps you more than anything else, and it's one of the easiest, give compliments. Give compliments to people. If you want to give a compliment to a woman, look at her hair. Women are very, very picky about their hair. Guys may not have but one or two suits. They may have a brown one and a black one, if they've got any suits at all. You know what? And if they've got shoes, you guys usually have about four or five pairs of shoes. You know, a pair of black leather shoes, a brown leather shoes. They got a pair of gym shoes. They got some sandals, you know, and maybe some multi-purpose shoes. So they got four or five pairs of shoes. Women have lots of shoes. But a guy has lots of ties. So a guy will wear the same suit, same shoes, but he wants to dress up, he changes the tie. So when you tell a guy, I like that tie, that guy's going, oh, thanks. That's why. Knock him right off the record. You look at a woman's hair and you say, you changed your hair, didn't you? You changed it. And by the way, you changed your hair. You changed your hair, Zach. I noticed that right away. And that's gonna put a smile on their face. You don't have to make up something fake. There's always enough things that we can say something about that someone's doing or saying or wearing. You walk into someone's office, look around it, you'll see. Zach walked into my office today, he looked around and he says, nice digs. I noticed that. Made me feel great. He gave me a compliment. Oh, that's all you have to do. Because if you look around a person's office, there's always going to be something on the wall. In my office, you'll see my uniform when I was with the Oakland A's. You see an MVP award on the wall over there from 1989. My uniform for the Cubs on the wall over here. You walk in one, you see these. That's what people do. They put things on their wall, things that are important to them. You look right over my right shoulder, a speech I did for a company back in 2004, I guess it was. Every major executive signed around this letter and made this thing for me. I love that. I read it almost once a week. People mention things like that. Give someone a compliment. You know, it doesn't take very much, but make it real. Give compliments. It's the first step to healing. And every time you give someone a compliment, it makes you feel good to the exact same degree that you've made them feel good. That's the way the world really works. Number two, accept compliments. That was one of the hardest things in the world for me. If you want to develop the habit of becoming a person that you feel good about, that where you like yourself, where you admire yourself, Well, you value yourself. You have to accept the compliments that people give you. That was a hard thing for me to do. I used to brush it off by saying, oh, well, you know, that's the thing. That was no big deal. That was nothing special. You know, or sometimes I just ignore it. Until Mary Jo West, one of the neatest, coolest people in the world. I think she's working for the Phoenix Catholic Archdiocese right now. But either way, she was one of the first, if not the first, primetime anchor women in America. Yeah, Mary Jo West, right here in Phoenix on Channel 10. And in spite of, and she didn't get this position early in her career. So she was under a lot of pressure to, you know, be great looking and in great shape. And so she came to work out with me for a long time. And she is a fabulous person. But one day she invited me to go to lunch. And she says, I want to talk about something. Well, when we got to lunch on 15th Avenue and Thomas at a little sandwich shop, she said, Mac, I have a bone to pick with you. And in some ways, I felt like I'd been set up. She says, I don't like the fact that you don't accept compliments. I have many times myself said, oh, you do this well, or you do that well, or I like your class, and you just kind of blow it off, or sometimes you completely ignore it. And I've noticed you doing the same thing to other people. And I remember my response, and I was like, wow, I didn't ask for this nonsense. But she was saying this to me because she cared for me. She says, I'm here today to teach you, to tell you, you have to accept compliments. Because when people give you compliments, because they want you to feel good, and it makes them feel good. When you reject their compliment, it makes them feel worthless. You have to accept their compliment, and I'm here to teach you how to do it. The simple way you accept compliments is you simply say, thank you, I'm glad you feel that way. Thank you, I'm glad you feel that way. That's all you have to say. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, just say it. Thank you, I'm glad you feel that way. To give you a perfect example, have you ever been going into a grocery store and you notice there was someone coming behind you? Maybe it was a man or a woman. Maybe they were carrying a package, or just an older person and they were struggling, and you held the door for them and they would look you right in the eye and say, thank you. Made you feel great, didn't it? How about if they just didn't look at you at all and just walked right on through? You feel like reaching back and grabbing them and throwing them back through the door so you can slam it in their face. But just being able to give compliments and accept them, that just shows you the power of those words, where someone says, thank you. And when you say you're welcome, and when you respond to thank you, never say no problem. That's like dissing their thank you. Say you're welcome. That's how you accept the compliment. Say thank you, I'm glad you feel that way. It's your way to heal, and it makes other people feel good at the same time. No downside to that. Number three, always speak in positive terms about you. Never criticize yourself for anything. Now, you might say, is that realistic, though? I mean, it is important that I critique myself. It's important that I don't try to be in denial about the stupid stuff that I do sometimes. And let's face it, I do some stupid stuff. Well, of course, we all do stupid stuff. We're human. This doesn't mean we have to destructively criticize ourselves. I want you to always speak in positive terms about yourself. When you do something stupid, you say this: in spite of what I've just done, I'm okay. I don't like what I did. That wasn't cool. That was really stupid. I'm better than that. In spite of what I'm okay. And then you say, the next time I'm in that situation, I'll handle it this way. And you tell yourself what you're going to do. Pre-converse with yourself. Tell yourself what you're going to do. Just don't destructively criticize yourself. And never allow anyone else to negatively criticize you either. This is an important thing. And used to happen to me all the time until I developed this method for dealing with it. It was always with me because I had a lot of negative traits. I mean, from not being on time to not finishing what I started. I had lots of things that were wrong with me. And people are always willing to remind you of the things that you don't do well. And I don't totally understand that, Eric, but why people are so eager to remind you of the things that haven't gone well with you. Something that, it's like you can almost hear the smile in their voice. Well, I heard you got laid off from your job, huh? It's like they're like happy that bad things are happening to you. I never got that. But anyway, I understand it, but I don't understand the reasoning for it. When someone says to you, like they'll say, you know what? You're always late. You just don't ever say that about me again. Well, you used to be late all the time. Ah, yeah, you were right. I used to be late, but I've worked on that specifically. I'm not ever late anymore. I've done a lot of work to always be on time. Don't ever say that about me again. Well, okay then. You stop them right in their tracks, and you tell them not to say anything negative about you. So you stop that negative flow of conversation that people get that's endless, just constantly coming at them from yourself internally and from the external world as well. Find a way in which to praise yourself when you do a good job. At the end of my class, I have everyone in the class give themselves a hand. Now, sometimes people confuse that when I'm asking them to applaud me. That's not what I'm asking for at all. I'm not nearly that insecure. I want them to give themselves a hand for being able to do what they've just done. When you've done a good job about something, praise yourself for it. Praise yourself. That was pretty good. Eric, you see me do it here all the time on the show. That was a good show. We used to do it out there at KFNX all the time, didn't we? I said, hey, man, that was a good show. That was awesome. That was an awesome show. You see, and it makes you smile, and it makes you feel positive about what you've done. Now, you can say, well, you know, that show was okay. I can do better next time. You may have to work on it. But when you feel good about that show, things went well, you overcame some limitations, you gave something out there that the people can enjoy, praise yourself for it. Whatever your job may be, learn to praise yourself. Number five, and this is key. Talking about all the four that we've put down so far, just kind of lumping them together. Number five, separate your behavior from yourself. Boy, that's serious. See, people are always lumping. What's wrong with my mouth today? I'm having trouble with all kinds of words. Lumping. Grouping together. People are grouping together the things they do and their self. In other words, they see behavior and self as the same. What we have to do is take the negative behavior, separate it from the self. I like me, I don't like the behavior. That behavior stinks. That was not good. I am okay. Separate your behavior from yourself. That's very, very important. Number six, treat your body well. Treat your body well. Take care of your feet. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy. Drink enough water. Drink 120 ounces of water a day. Make sure that your body is functioning. Take care of yourself. Get a checkup once a year. Make sure your body's functioning well. Work out at least a half an hour a day. Eat well. Make sure you're eating meat and vegetables together. You're eating balanced meals. Don't be an extremist in anything. Moderation in all things. Treat your body well. Number seven, tell people how you expect to be treated. Don't let people expect you to read their minds. Tell people what you want. Tell them what you want. Tell people how you expect to be treated. It's really something where people who don't like themselves very much, they don't get what they want from life. They don't get treated the way they want to. They're just like a member of the army of silent sufferers. They're just suffering silently, putting up with things. And all you have to do is tell people what you want. They won't ask for a raise. They won't ask for a date. People will bring them the wrong order. They won't ask to have the correct one brought. They just don't want to be a bother because they don't think they're very valuable. They don't like themselves very much. And then they just go home and feel bad about it. Or they get angry over it and take it out on someone weaker than them. Take it out on the dog or a small child. Tell people how you expect to be treated. And look them in the eye when you're doing so. Now that's a very important point. Look people in the eye when you're doing things beside just being mad at them. When you give someone a compliment, look them in the eye when you give it to it. I grew up being hypersensitive to looks. Why? Because my only time my father ever looked at me is when he was screaming at me. In fact, sometimes if he was talking to me about something, he'd talk to someone else or look past me. Except when he was mad at me. You were late. You didn't do this. And he just glared at me. Until finally, I became hypersensitive. So by the time I got to high school, if someone looked at me, I'd go, hey, what are you looking at? You got a problem here, buddy? You're looking at me like that? What are you looking at me for? I used to get in a number of confrontations because someone would look at me and they go, what's wrong with you? What, you don't want me to look at you? No, don't look at me. I can remember getting into several fights just because someone was looking at me. Don't look at me. What do you mean don't look at you? Don't look at me. I was hypersensitive. I was, whenever someone looked at me, I just, there was always a negative connotation to it from the fact that I always looked at, the only time my father looked at me is when he was putting me down, screaming at me and saying negative things about me. So when you look at someone, you're giving compliments, look at them right in the eye. Tell them, I like that shirt. Like that. You know, I like that tie. Talking to a woman, man. And by the way, fellas, all you fellas listening to me out there, the 14th of February is coming. Get their flowers now. Don't wait till Friday. The 14th is on a Saturday. You wait till Friday, you're done. You're going to be left buying your flowers from 7-Eleven. You don't want that. Okay? Get them some chocolate. I don't care. Don't tell me about the extra pounds. Don't bring that up. Women love chocolate. They're wired that way. Get them some chocolate. Get them some chocolate truffles. All right? It'll get you over, man. I'm telling you right now. No laundry for you for a long time. Just a little. I'm telling you. Take it from the Mac Daddy. I've learned that one. Okay. Number 8. Hang around winning people. And by the way, we're going to review this next week before we start our goal setting. So we always like to go back and trace over. So hang around winning people. Hang around people who are going someplace. Learn to have pleasure without guilt. Next week, I'm going to go to my guilt page and define guilt for you and tell you all the characteristics of a guilty personality. And finally, visualize in your mind how you want to be, what you want to look like, all in advance. Visualize in your mind how you want to be, how you want to sound, the things you want to do, all in advance. I told you we had a great show on tap for you guys today. And I'm never kidding when I say that. I think all the shows are great, but some are just better than others. I think it's the topics. Right now, we're talking about stuff that I like, stuff I want to work on and improve myself. And these are the things. I'm going to have a great show for you next week too, gang. In addition to finishing up the 10 steps to permanent change, we're going to introduce you to goal setting. Goal setting Mac Daddy style. That means we're going to go at it straight on, face first, uncut. We're not going to back into this. We're going to talk about how you can set goals and become an obsessive goal setter, how you can get all the fabulous things in life you want. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do that. It's now about 2 minutes before the hour. And wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying a fabulous day like we are in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Any great living in Phoenix, eh? It's fabulous.
Born and raised, you know. Mountain, lived in Seattle for a while, I came back.
Mountains all around us.
I just did Echo Canyon yesterday.
Did you? Congratulations.
It felt good.
You know, you're staying in shape and all that kind of stuff. Want to give a good send-off for Eric. Eric, dap up the Mac Daddy here, partner. You got us off to a real good start. Thanks for
pleasure.
Being on board.
It's good to be here.
It's been a pleasure. Maybe we can still have you on sometimes. Anyway, I want to give out a good shout out to, like we always do, to Bob Adlock, who's a producer of the Suns game, as you know. Got us started with the Power Hour on Cox 9. Pat McMahon, the true professional in all of radio. John Cannon up in San Francisco. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha gave her receipt for you today, man. You better mention that to her when you see her next week. And, of course, to the fabulous Quincy Jones, all 5'6.5" of the fabulous Q. I want to remind you all again, too, to be true to yourselves. What that means simply is that you're making your words and your behaviors match. I had a long conversation about a week ago with Robert Kiyosaki, the author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series, who's coming back in to work out with me again next week. And he was just saying that he enjoyed being here and things. It's just different when he's not on top of all these things, being true to yourself. So he finds himself talking sometimes to groups and he feels, well, he just doesn't feel whole. So he says, I want to come back in and get in top shape like I did before. So you guys, be true to yourselves. Make your words and behaviors match. And tune in again with me to Mac Daddy and Zach on the Power Hour and, of course, the fabulous Natasha next Thursday at 5 o'clock. You guys, take care of yourselves. Remember, they call me the Mac Daddy. 3, 2, 1, peace. I am out.